Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Trial et al. Titled, Changes in Cardiac Resident Fibroblast Physiology and Phenotype in Aging. This article was published June 15, 2018. Joining me today are Deputy Editor Mary Lindsay, Lead author Katarzyna Cieślik, and content expert Michael Schubert. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. This review article summarizes our current knowledge base on resident cardiac fibroblasts and how they change with aging. Kat, tell us why this is a timely review.
Thank you. Aging causes changes that affect various processes on cellular and intercellular levels, which of course translate to heart dysfunction. We used to think about fibroblasts' role in various organs as support cells that produce matrix protein, but it is clear now that their functional role is much more complex than that and their phenotype is altered with aging.
Thank you for that. Mike, one of the main discussion points is that fibroblasts have a broad spectrum of phenotypes, including one that promotes inflammation. This is an important concept because most folks who think about fibroblasts peripherally only think about the reparative or the fibrosis generating roles for this cell type. Can you tell us a little bit more about this concept?
One of the important concepts here is that these cells, these fibroblasts, undergo a series of changes as they progress into myofibroblasts. That's something that has really started to emerge in the last several years. For a long time, we thought of these as really two kinds of cells. And as we do more and more characterization of these cells, we realize that there's a lot of intermediate steps in between. And these cells take on different roles as they go from typical fibroblast to what we consider myofibroblast. They have a different secretome, they have a different transcriptome, and they can take on pro-inflammatory roles, eventually becoming anti-inflammatory roles before eventually taking on their extracellular matrix producing role. And so they do really an incredible number of tasks throughout this continuum.
Mike, you bring up a very good point, and I want to discuss further a little bit about the term myofibroblast. And so really, this question is for both you and Kat. I personally do not like the term myofibroblast because it converts a spectrum of fibroblast phenotypes into a binary grouping of only two choices, namely either the fibroblast or the myofibroblast. And this grouping is dictated solely on the presence or absence of alpha smooth muscle actin, which can be expressed over a wide variety of concentrations. I understand that this term is used for simplicity, but I think this nomenclature is oversimplistic. What do you think?
So I think one of the issues is that we have the same problem with the term fibroblast as well. Fibroblasts are very heterogeneous, and we're really starting to appreciate and understand just how different these cells can be depending where you isolate them and also how you culture them after you isolate them. They are going to take on different phenotypes, but even in vivo, we know that a fibroblast is not necessarily the same as a fibroblast from a completely different area. So we have to consider that all this terminology is really oversimplifies. We have a real reductionist approach to science many times, and sometimes we do oversimplify. And I think there's a real need to have a discussion on nomenclature and really just the concepts of what these cells are and how they present themselves.
That's an interesting point, Mike. It sounds like AJP Heart maybe needs to think about a guidelines on a cardiac fibroblasts. Kat, what do you think?
I totally agree. Additional level of complexity we also observe in aging, where fibroblasts get activated but have difficulties transitioning into classical myofibroblasts because of lower expression of alpha smooth muscle actin. So in the aging heart, we observe the intermediate phenotype that would be best characterized as protomyofibroblast, the highly secretory cell with low contractile capacity.
Kat, tell us more about the fibroblasts with aging and the apparent paradox of fibrosis in the aging heart.
Aging results in defective signaling by TGF-beta, leading to insufficient scar formation by myofibroblasts, whereas enhanced activation of ERK pathway, and perhaps maybe other pathway as well, may be responsible for interstitial fibrosis mediated by activated fibroblasts. So in other words, reparative fibrosis in aging is impaired, but adverse fibrosis is augmented.
Thank you for that summary. Mike, some folks think that fibroblasts need to be inhibited. Well, continued maintenance of the infarct scar actually requires an ongoing fibroblast activity. In fact, Matisse Blankenstein has shown that fibroblasts can still be seen in the human infarcts 18 years after myocardial infarction. The idea that fibroblasts are dispensable has led some cardiac scientists to propose using the cell type to be a source for regenerating myocytes. Mike, you wrote a very nice review 2 years ago in the journal Molecular and Cellular Cardiology titled "Gaining Myocytes or Losing Fibroblast: Challenges in Cardiac Fibroblast Reprogramming for Infarct Repair." This is a title I just love, by the way. Can you tell us some of the conclusions from your review?
Sure. I think one of the issues was there's still a sense out there that the stars of the show are the myocytes and the fibroblasts are really supporting characters. But we have several million fibroblasts in the heart. They have a job to do. And the purpose of the review was really to just bring up the discussion point that we don't know everything what these cells are doing. We don't know how many of these cells are really required. And if we start converting them en masse to myocytes, we may be fixing a short-term problem and introducing a different long-term problem through the lack of fibroblasts and potential effects on extracellular matrix, which is required for stabilization of the heart in the long term. Really, our conclusion at the end was this looks like a really exciting way to perhaps repair the heart after infarct, but we do need to do our homework. We need to proceed carefully to make sure that we're not substituting one problem for another, which would possibly be the end outcome of losing fibroblasts.
Yeah, those are all very good points. It's funny, I had a friend of mine who is in the myocyte field recently tell me that fibroblasts were becoming a hot topic, and I just kind of laughed at him because I've been studying them for 20 years. But I'm glad to see that the myocyte-centric folks are starting to think about fibroblasts, and reviews like yours and Kat's will be helping them focus their research so that they don't get misguided and think about just removing a cell type that's very critical. Kat, along the same lines, cardiovascular folks do not always give enough consideration for the aging component. Tell us why aging is important to think about.
Well, I'm truly grateful for this question. Scientists not always appreciate that the phenotype of the aging cell is altered and may not resemble the young cell. Therefore, the knowledge we gain from experiments using young animals may not reflect the biology of the aging heart. For example, fibroblasts derived from the steady-state aged mouse or human heart are profibrotic and pro-inflammatory, while fibroblasts in the young heart are relatively dormant. However, opposite happens with a challenge. Young fibroblasts quickly respond to the signals, whereas response from aged fibroblasts are blunted.
I think you summarized that very nicely in terms of most aging phenomenon. When you're young, you can respond to the stress easily and quickly and appropriately. And when you're older, it's harder to mount that same response. Mike, another misconception about cardiac fibroblasts in the setting of myocardial infarction is that they always secrete both extracellular matrix and the enzymes that degrade the ECM, namely the matrix metalloproteinases. Can you clear this up for AJP Heart readers?
Well, I think this goes back to what we touched on a little bit earlier, that fibroblasts undergo a series of phenotypic changes as they proceed to what we consider a myofibroblast. And even that, again, is sort of an open term for discussion as to what exactly do we mean by myofibroblast. And in the course of undergoing those changes, their secretome changes and their transcriptome changes, their role changes as they go through this continuum. And we're slowly, I think, really appreciating how much variety there is in the way these cells behave. As we look with more and more care and finer tools, if we look with higher resolution, I think we're going to see even more. Of course, that's going to make it even more difficult to come up with definitions of fibroblasts and myofibroblasts and protomyofibroblasts and everything in between. And it's something we have to think very carefully about, because as we shine a brighter spotlight in this area, we're going to, I think, uncover even more heterogeneity that we have to consider.
Exactly. And then Kat, tell us more about how in the face of aging, there's even a little bit more complexity that we need to think about with the cell type.
Well, first of all, the transition from activated fibroblasts into myofibroblasts in the aging heart is defective. So that results from poor transcriptional activation of alpha smooth muscle actin due to reduced activation of the canonical TGF-beta SMAD pathway and perhaps some other yet unidentified defects. That poor myofibroblast maturation has a direct implication in the healing after myocardial infarction, causing infarct expansion and later progressing into adverse remodeling.
Exactly. And so I want to ask both Kat and Mike, if you could think of one experiment or one direction that is critical right now for this field to be thinking about or going in, what are the experiments that are next on your list?
Scientists need to pay more attention to interaction between different cells within the organ and cell interaction with perhaps matrix. So that's one thing. And the other thing, in aging, it became quite obvious that the metabolism, the differences in different metabolites can affect the organ much more than in the young heart that perhaps can better regulate or deal with stress. So I think we should look at aging heart in the whole organ and whole body homeostasis.
We're very interested in sclerosis and its role as a regulator of the transition of fibroblasts through the continuum to myofibroblasts. But it's interesting because I think that there's multiple populations, some that may be sclerosis expressing, some that are not. And we need to identify, where do these cells come from developmentally? Where are they arising, and does that have an effect on where they end up going in situations of disease or in response to stress? So as we look with more resolution at these questions, I think we're going to learn a lot more about why these endpoints are not always identical depending on the nature of the insult, whether it's infarct or pressure overload or diabetes, as well as why patients will present with fibrosis very differently. If you look at patients with MRI, for example, you will see that there are very many different kinds of patterns of fibrosis presentation that can be very, very different, even in patients that superficially appear to be undergoing the same disease process. And we don't really understand at all why that is the case.
You both bring up excellent points. I have seen on many occasions in reviewing manuscripts or grants where folks who are studying fibroblasts try to extrapolate across ages or across pathologies. For example, thinking that the fibroblast response to pressure overload is going to be very similar to the fibroblast response to myocardial infarction. And when you actually do those studies, you see that they're not mix and match, and that you really need to think about the fibroblast in each of those contexts as an individual response.
I think that Kat's article here is very important and is timely to remind us that most of the studies done with mice, for example, are done in mice that are 8 to 12 weeks of age. They are virtually teenagers or just entering adulthood. And the question of aging is largely ignored. And it's something that I think we can't ignore much longer. We really need to start diving in and seeing what is disease looking like in older animals as a model for what's happening in our human population. We're not typically worried about fibrosis in young adults. We're worried about the elderly because they're the ones that are most commonly presenting.
I agree wholeheartedly. Dr. Szeslik, thank you for publishing in AJP Heart. Dr. Schubert, thank you for discussing this article with us. Back to you, Kara.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this one, visit us online at physiology.org/journal/AJP Heart.